Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, HaKo'umetz mi'uto mi'akevet rubo. When it comes to the ko'umetz that's removed, any amount is mi'akev the rest, meaning that imchiser kolshu, if there's anything missing from the ko'umetz, it is pasul. That's not only true by the ko'umetz, isaron, the flour that is brought for the mincha, mi'uto mi'akevet rubo. There too, the mi'ut will affect the robe, meaning that kol shehu is me'akev, if you're missing any part of the yisaron. Hayayin mi'uto me'akevet rubo, the yayin of the nitzachim, which is a revi tahin for a keves, shlishi tahin the ayon, and chatzi ahin for the par, all of those measurements, if you're missing, if there's any deficit in the measurement, it's me'akev. Hashemen mi'uto me'akevet rubo, the oil, whether it's to deal with the minchat nitzachim, or it's dealing with the minchat nedava, the amount of oil that is being brought along with them is defined and is me'akev. That means by the nedava, it's a log shaman for every isaron. And by the nisachim, it matches the measurements that we just said by the yayin, which is revi'i tahin, shlishi tahin, and chatzi ahin. That's the amount of oil that you also bring with the isaron of the nisachim. Hasolet v'ashemen makvim zedze. So not only is it that the isaron and the shemen independently are problematic if there's any chisaron, they're also me'akev each other. If you don't have one, you can't have the other. You can't process the korban with one without the other. Kometz ve'alevona makvim zedzeh. And similarly, the kometz that's removed from the mincha and the levona, both of which need to get onto the mizbeach, they're also me'akev each other, which means if you're missing either one of them, you haven't accomplished the hakravah, the akhtara of the mincha, as well as the fact that the shirayim are not released in that case. My time up. What's the reasoning, starting from the beginning of the Mishnah, what's the reasoning that a kometz, that the size of the kometz is me'akev? So the Gemara says, that's amakra melo kumtso tre zimne. As we know, by kodoshim, when there's a repetition of something, that is la'akev. The first time it's mentioned is l'chatchila, the mitzvah. The second time that it's mentioned, that is le'akev. What the Gemara points out is that melo kumtso, that he have a full palmful of the mincha, shows up twice, once by the mincha nedava in Vayikra bet, which is ve'abiyah b'nei Aron HaKohanim b'kamatz misham melo kumtso. So there's your first melo kumtso. It also appears by the mincha tchuteh in Vayikra perek hey, pasuk yud bet, ve'abiyah l'kohen b'kamatz l'kohen b'mena melo kumtso. So here you have the repetition. You have it twice mentioned, melo kumtso, and that is le'akev. Isaron mi'uto me'akev rubo ma'itayma. What's the reasoning that the solet, the flour, has to be whole, and if it's missing anything, that it's problematic? Amarkra misalta. So that's the pasuk actually we just read before with regards to melo kumtso. It continues. Ve'via al-bnei Aron HaKohanim v'kamatz misham melo kumtso. Misalta u'mishamna. Over here, you don't need a repetition because the drasha is not coming out of the repetition, but rather, according to Rashi, at least from the ribuya, the hay, the extra hay that's mentioned over here, misalta umishamna, and Rashi notes the extra hay over here, mi ribuya the hay dorish, shim chisra koshu psula, if it's missing any amount, it's going to be problematic. Tosafot, back on Yutet Amud Aleph, discusses at the end of a Tosfot that begins on Yutet Amud Aleph, he says, Aval legabe mi utan de me'akevet ruban, our Mishnah, maiti misaltal mishamna. That comes out of those words themselves. V'chein gabi ikuvah de nafshei, lo bo yishon ala akev. An ikuv on the item itself, for itself, you don't need a repetition in the pasuk. Al legabe makvim zedzeh, in a situation where they're me'akev each other, bo yishon ala akev. There you do need a repetition in order to be me'akev. That is somewhat undermined by the fact that the Gemara here just brought melo kumtso twice to tell you that it is me'akev. That might be because there's no riboy or nothing unusual about melo kumtso that will allow you to make the drasha. But Tosafot says you don't need such a duplication in order to make it me'akev. When you speak about the object itself, it's only when its interaction with others is me'akev. That's when you need a duplication in order for it to be deemed le'akev. Hayayin mi'uto me'akevet rubo. How do you know the fact that by the yayin, the mi'ut affects the rov? That has to do with the parshat nesachim that is found in parshat shlach. Over there, in towards the end of the parshia, in perek tedvav psukim, yud aleph, yud bet, and yud gimel, the word kacha appears. Likely it's referencing to the one in Yud Aleph, which says, Kacha yaseh l'shor echad, ul aile echad, ul aseh bekvasim, ul ba'izim. So the word kacha is la'akev. You must do it this way. This is the way to carry it out, and no other way. So that's the ikuv for the yayin. Hashemen mi'uto ma'akevit rubo. So when it comes to shemen, we said that also you have to have the right amount. B'minchat nisachim, the fact that the oil by the minchat nisachim has to be the right amount, is from the word kacha, the same word kacha that we use for the yayin, we also use for the shemen, because they both appear in these psukim by the nisachim, and then kacha, you gotta do it this way. So the kacha is telling you it must be done in this manner and in this measurement. Uminchat nidava, the fact that by the nidava, the log shaman is makev, is amakra, umishamna. That's the next word in the pasuk that we just read before, which is misaltau mishamna. Oh, so over there, the extra hay tells you that it is me'akev, or that the exact amount is me'akev. Therefore, if you're missing any amount, it's pasul. Hashemen v'asolit makvim zedze. Shemen and solit affect each other, which means that one without the other is problematic. Misalta u'mishamna. Well, you can't learn it just out of misalta u'mishamna, because from there we just learned that you need the amount. So it has to be migirsa u'mishamna, which is later on in the parashah, towards the end of the parashah, with dealing with minchata omer. Says Victira Kohenit Azkarata Migirsa Umishamna Kolib Notai Shad Hashem. So obviously Mishamna is duplicated over here. Migirsa is synonymous with Salta or Solet. It's just the Solet of the Minchat Nidava is called Salta, and the Solet of the Minchata Omer is called Migirsa. It likely has to do with the fact that they come from different raw materials. The Solet comes from wheat, and the girsa comes from barley. So the girsa is the fine barley flour, whereas the silta, or the solet, is fine wheat flour. So therefore we see those as being duplications, and that duplication teaches us that they're ma'akvim zetzeh. That's what Tosafot says, that you need a duplication in order to be ma'akev. Komets ve'aluvuna ma'akvim zetzeh. How do you know that the komets and the luvuna affect each other? That's because the pasuk says, Al kol levanota veviel ben Aaron akohanim vekamatz misham lo kumtzo misalta mishamna al kol levanota. So that's what we got together with the levona. Biktira kohen azkaratam izbecha yishriach nichoach l'Hashem. And then additionally, it mentions parshat Tzav kol halevona asher lemincha veirim mimenu kumtzo misalta mincha mishamna et kol halevona asher lemincha biktira mizbeach reich nichoach azkarat l'Hashem. So twice it mentions that the komets must be put on the mizbeach, on the levona, that the komets has to be brought with the levona, and that's how we know that they are ma'akev each other, because it's repeated twice, that the komets must be brought along with the levona. Now, we move to a new Mishnah. The new Mishnah is going to take us far away from the world of Menachot, and really leads to the remainder of the third parak, and then into the fourth parak, dealing with many topics that aren't related to Menachot, but actually are topics that are central to our lives on a daily basis. And that is some of the dinim of stam, the dinim of tefillin, tzitzit. All of these sugyot are going to come out of the format of this type of mishnah, which is me'akev zeh. That these items are essential to each other. And so we left off with the minachot, which was the fact that the solot and the shemen and the komets and the bonar me'akev zeh. Now we're going to jump to other mitzvot, where the same is true, that the mitzvot are me'akvim zeh. Shnei Sire Yom HaKippurim Makvim Zeh. The two Sirim of Yom Kippur are Ma'akev. The Sir LaShem and the Sir LaZazel are Ma'akev each other. You need each one of them in order to discharge the obligation. The truth is, by Yom HaKippurim, you need all the Seder Avodah. Anything that you deviate from the Seder Avodah will be posel, the Avodah Yom HaKippurim. It has to be done exactly, and we'll see why this is. The Gemara will bring the reason behind all of these statements of the Mishnah. Shnei kibtzei atzeret makvim zeh. The two zivchei shlamim that are brought along with the shtei lechem on Shavuot are me'akev each other. Bet chalot makvot zo zo. Not only are the two kvasim me'akev each other, so too are the shtei lechem me'akvim echad et hasheni. Shnei starim makvim zeh. By the lechem apanim, the two stacks of the lechem apanim, because lechem apanim is divided in half on two stacks on the shulchan, both of the stacks are me'akev each other. Shnei bazichim makvim zeh. And the two utensils or ladles full of levona that are placed on the shulchan that we put on the mizbeach in order to eat the lechem apanim, those two mibazichim are me'akvim zedzeh. You need both of them. Hazdarim v'abazichim akvim zedzeh. Not only are the starim akvim each other, and the bazichim akvim each other, the bazichim and the starim are me'akvim each other. They're all necessary. Bet minim shibinazir. The two types of breads that are brought along with the korbanot and nazir, they are me'akev each other. Gimel shipara. The three items that are brought along with the para aduma are also ma'akev each other. The zov, the shnitolat, and the eitz erez, all of those are ma'akev each other. Vidalid shibetoda, the four breads that come with the toda are ma'akvim each other. Vidalid shibulav, the four minim of the lulav are ma'akvim zeze. Ve'arba shibimitzora ma'akvim zeze. And the four items by the Tarat HaMitzora are ma'akev each other. That's similar to the Parah Aduma, where you require Eitz Erez, Shni Tolat, and Ezov. But by the Mitzora, you also require the Tziporim. You require the birds to be there along with it. You take note of the fact that the Mishnah is not only going through a sequence of items that are similar to that which we saw in the Mishnah before, the Ma'akvim Etzeze, they're also doing it in a way that the numbers that are associated with them are increasing. We did twos, then we did threes, then we did fours, we're up to now, and now we're moving on to sevens, which is Shiva Hazaot Shibepara Makvot Zozu. The seven Matnot Dam that come from the Parah Aduma are Me'akev each other. The Parah Aduma is processed on Har HaZeitim on the eastern side of Yerushalayim. And then the Kohen, when he processes the Parah Aduma, after the Shechita he takes from the Dam, Bizayo Nochach Pnei Ol Moed, that he has to sprinkle it towards the direction of the Kodesh, Kodesh HaKodeshim of the Mikdash. He's standing on the eastern side, so he's facing towards the west and sprinkling in that direction. Those seven azot are ma'akev each other. Zayin azayot shal bane badim, shal aparochet, v'shal mizbach hazahav, ma'akvot zo zo. The seven azot, bane badim, is only on Yom HaKippurim. They're ma'akev each other. Those that are on the parochet, mean the seven that are in the Kodesh, opposite the area of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, are ma'akev each other by Yom HaKippurim, but also by the paralim davar shel tzibur, the Paragoyim Mashiach, the Seir Avodah Zarah, which also have that requirement for those seven Hazot, they're all Ma'akev each other. Those Hazot that go on the Mizbeach Hazav, seven in certain instances, four in other instances, they are Ma'akev each other. All of these are Ma'akvot Zot Zot, not only are they Ma'akev each other, each sequence is Ma'akev the other sequence, meaning that if you did seven inside of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, you still need to do the seven in the Kodesh in order for this to work. You can't just do one series of seven, you're fine. Each of the seven is me'akev each other, and then the seven, all the series of seven are also me'akev each other. And even though on Yom Kippur, technically there are eight in all of those locations, you have achat damala v'sheva damato, nevertheless, it's subsumed in the term sheva over here, because trying to use a terminology that is generic for all the korbanot that have the azot adam that are done in this location. And Tosfot points out, despite extensive list in the Mishnah, that it's Tana v'shier. The Tana did not give a complete exhaustive list over here, because he enumerates a number of items that have the din of ikuv. It's just giving you a general feel for this idea of ikuv, as well as these growing numbers that are inside of the Mishnah, but not that this is the complete list of those items. Now the Gemara says, Shnei Tzirei Yom HaKippurim Makvim Zedzeh, the Shnei Tzirim of Yom Kippur Makvim each other, because the word chukah appears in Parshat Achrimot. When we read about the Avodah, it says, Vayita zot lahem l'chukat olam. So chukat olam, is an indication of mimi'akev. That's why he writes the word chok. Chok is something that's chakuk. It's carved in stone. It has to be done this way, and only this way. If you don't do it this way, you're not going to be yotze. Shnei kivtzei atzeret, makvim zetzeh. The two kvasim on Shavuot that are brought along with the Shtei Alechem or Ma'akev each other, because over there it says Havaya. Truth is that that's really associated with the Shtei Alechem. The Gemara applies it to the Kvasim as well, where it says, Mimo Shvotechem, Taviu Lechem Tnufa, Shtaim, Shnei Asurunim Solet, Tiyena, Chameitz Te'afena Bikurim Lashem. So Tiyena is Eloshon Havaya, and it must be this way. This is the way that it will be done. And that is Ma'akev, that's how we know the Shnei Kivtzei Atzeret. And the Shtei Chalot, the Shtei Alechem, which are really the subject of that pasuk, are also me'akev each other because of the word havaya. the Shnei Kvasim appear in the subsequent Pasuk, which is, along with the Lechem, you have to bring 7 Kvasim, B'nei Shana, Upar Ben Berchar Echad, Ba'ayil, Ve'elim Shnaim, Yu'olol Hashem, those will be Olot, and then on top of that, you have to bring Asir Azim Lechatat, U'Shnei Kvasim B'nei Shana, the Zevach HaShlamim. So those Psukim that are immediately afterwards that describe the Korbanot that come along with the Shtei Lechem, the Gemara says it's covered also by the Solet Tiyena. That Tiyena covers them as well, and that's how we know they are Mi'akev. Shnei Sdorim, the fact that the two stacks of the Lechem HaPanim are Me'akev each other comes from the Pasuk that we saw at the end of the Lechem HaPanim in Parshat Emor, Vaital Aron Ulubanav Acholu B'Makom Kadosh, Ki Kodesh Kodeshim Hulu Mi'ishei Hashem Chak Olam. So again, the word Chukah appears over there. Shnei Bazichim, the same reason by the Shnei Bazichim, speaking about the Lechem HaPanim over here, those Shnei Bazichim are also included in this Chak Olam, that it is a Chuk. Hastarim v'mezichim, and again, the starim v'mezichim are makev each other because of the word chukah. Chak olam covers all of these items. It says whatever is chakuk, whatever is written here, carved here in stone, must be done in this manner. Right? Shnei minim shibin nazir, the two different breads that come with the nazir, tichtiv ken yaseh, because it says about the nazir that you must do it in this manner. So since you must do it in this manner, of course you have to do it. If the Torah is telling you to do it, of course you have to do it this way. Kein yaseh, why are you repeating that you must do it in this way? That's a equivalent of a duplication or something that is me'akev. Gimel shepara, the fact that you have those three different items that are brought along with the parah adumah, that they're me'akev each other, chukah, zot chukat ha-Torah. That's parshat chukat, is the parshia of parah adumah. Arba'a shebetodah, the four breads by the Todah, that they are me'akev each other, to itkish le-Nazir. This again we saw earlier, because it's ekish between Nazir, which we just said is the akev, and the Todah. Tichtev al-Zevach Todat Shelamav. It says upon the Zevach, the Korban that he's bringing, Todat Shelamav, which is in plural, Shlamim Shelo. Why is it in plural? Amar Mar, Shlamav, l'rabot Shlamei Nazir. The fact that it's in plural comes to say that it includes Shlamei Nazir, to the rules that are there, including the fact that you only eat it for one day and one night. Just like a Todah is only eaten for one day and one night, so too the Shlamei Nazir are only eaten for one day and one night. But the fact that there's a hekesh between Nazir and Todah also tells us that which is true by the Nazir, that it's Me'akev, is true by the Todah as well. The word Torah or Torat also is Le'akev because it's an instruction. The word Torah in general means directions, instructions. So when it says Zot, Tiyah, Torah, Tamitzorah, the word Tiyah next to Torah tells you that instruction that's brought over here, Tiyah, must be done in this way. B'dalet shebelulav, the fact that the four minim of the lulav are me'akev each other, it says, V'lakachtem lechem b'yom ha'rishon, V'lakachtem v'darshan as l'kicha tama. You have to take them wholly, you have to take them all together, all those things that are mentioned in the Pasuk, you must take them in a whole way. Amar Rav Chanan, Bairova, Loshna, Elisha'enlo. It's only true if he doesn't have it. Aval Yeshlo, if he does have it, Ein Ma'akvim. They are not Me'akev. So here's a huge chiddush that's brought up by Rav Chanan here with regards to Lulav, that has huge ramifications for Halacha, which is, he says, that the only time you have a problem with the Arba Minim is if you don't have all four of the Arba Minim. What he's saying is that you don't have to take all four minim at once. You just need to have all four minim in order to take them. What that means that he needs to own them from the simple reading of the Pasuk, it means as long as you own all four of them, then you are fine in terms of taking one of them to be, you'll say, the mitzvah. Whereas others read it, yeshlo means that it is bifanav. It's in front of him. It has to be literally in front of him. That means yeshlo. But in either case, what he's not saying is that you need to take them all together. Meitevei, is that really true? Dalim minim shibulav. You have the four species of the lulav. Bet mehem osip perot. Two of them produce fruit. The etrog and the lulav, which produces tamarim. Ubet mehem enosim perot. Two of them do not produce the hadasim and the aravot. Hosim perot yuzukukim l'sheinosim. The ones that produce fruit or that are fruits need to be together with those that are not producing fruits. And those that don't produce fruit need the ones that do produce fruit. and you can't be yotze until all of them are bound in a single binding. From here, it seems pretty clear you need all four of them together in order to be yotze in the mitzvah, and that's the Gemara's question over here. V'chein Yisrael, and here's as a sidebar to this, which is a very important halacha as well, V'chein Yisrael b'hartza'ah. It is similarly true when Bnei Yisrael are beseeching Hashem that you need this same setup. Achyu b'kulam b'agudah achat. Until all of them are together and united, then their tefillah is not accepted. But the unification, Rashi notes over here, they are united, tzaddikim v'rishayim. Doesn't mean, oh, the tzaddikim are together. It means tzaddikim and rishayim are together in their tefillah, are together beseeching Hashem. And that's the definition of osim and ein osim peirot. Tzaddikim are osim peirot. They create fruits, they do mitzvot, they connect with Hashem. The rishayim are ein osim peirot. They're the ones who don't produce peirot. Despite that fact, the tzaddikim and the rishayim need to be together, bound together, in order for there to be a successful tanit, or a successful tefillah l'Hashem. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, abune b'shamayim malotav, he builds his levels or his stairs in the heavens, ve'agudato al eretz yisada, and his binding is founded on the land. As Rashi notes over here, al eretz yisada, Bizman shagurato biyachad az yisada. When is Hashem's presence, or when is Hashem firmly planted on the earth? When it is vig agudato. When everything is bound together. When there's unification, when there's unity amongst Klal Yisrael, then al eretz yisada. Hashem is found and firm on the earth, meaning that he provides that which is needed, and he ensures the protection of Bnei Yisrael. That's what the Gemara says. With regards to a ta'anit, that any ta'anit that doesn't have me poshe Yisrael amongst the people in the crowd or in the Agudah Achat, it's not a real ta'anit or it's not a real tefillah that will be accepted by Hashem. And their proof is from the Ketoret. The Ketoret has the chelbana mixed in it, which is a foul-smelling item. Despite that fact, it's mixed in with the rest of the Ketoret to tell you that you need all types. Tzadikim, Rishayim, everybody is bound together in order to supplicate before Hashem or to serve Hashem. And in that way, that Agudah Achat is what gives us or facilitates for us the ability to speak to Hashem and gain the response that we want from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Gemara says, Tinaehi, it is actually a machloket tanaim as to whether you need all four of the items to be together and to be me'akev, Titania. Lulav, ben agud, ben she'enu agud, kasher. Lulav, whether it's bound or not bound, is kasher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, a good kasher, shein a good pasul. If it's bound, it's good. If it's not bound, it's pasul. So now that's going to be the difference between them. Lulav means lulav hadasim in a revolt. Nobody thinks the etrog has to be bound together with the other minim. But those three minim, because of the way the pasuk lays them out, and there's no vava chibur, lakach nachem yom ishon pri tzadar kapot marim anaf etzavot va'arvei nachal. So the latter three are put together with the Vavs. The Pre-Etz Adar is not included in that grouping. So the Pre-Etz Adar, the Etrog, is taken separately in another hand. The other three Minim are taken together. Do those three Minim need to be bound together? The Tanakhama, the Chachamim say, doesn't matter. If they're bound together or they're not bound together, you are fine. Rabbi Yehuda says, if they are bound together, it's kasher. If they're not bound together, it's not kasher. So that's going to be the difference in the Braita versus the statement of Rav Chanan Barova is going to be defined by which Tana you are speaking of. If you're speaking of the Chachamim, it's not Ma'akev that you take all four Minim together because they don't have to be bound together. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda believes since they have to be bound together, you need to take them together. Otherwise, you're not going to have them bound together. So the Gemara thinks that the Agudah, the Eged over here, is essential to your opinion as to whether you have to take all the minim together or whether you can take them individually. My time in the Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda's position over here that the requirement for Eged? Gamar kicha, kicha magudat ezov. He learns it out from the agudat ezov that is found by Yetzirat Mitzrayim where it says, ulukachtem agudat ezov. Over there it says, v'lekachtem, that you have to take. And over here it says, v'lekachtem lechem. So lekicha, lekicha teaches you just like by the Ezov, Malalan be'aguda, there it's bound, Avkan be'aguda. So to over here, it should be bound together. Rabbanan, logamri kicha kicha. They don't have this gezerah shava, therefore they don't have the requirement of aguda. Kaman azla'ad adanya. So who does this brayta follow? which is the halacha, lulav mitzvah lo'agdo, v'im lo'agdo kasher. It's a mitzvah to put an eged on the lulav. That's the proper way, l'chatchila, to do it, but it's not me'akev. If you don't do it, you're still yotze. It is kasher. Come on, whose opinion is that following? Ikir Rabbi Yehuda lo'agdo amai kasher. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if you don't have an eged, it's pasul. You need it. It's absolutely required to have an eged. So how can you have the bright to say, im lo agdo kasher? That doesn't fit the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Irabonon, my mitzvah. It's the Rabbanan. Why are we speaking about the chatchila and bidiavad? The Torah can only prescribe one way to do things. The Torah doesn't prescribe the chatchila and bidiavad. It just tells you to do it or doesn't tell you to do it. According to the Chachamim, the Torah doesn't tell you to do this. So where do you get this idea that mitzvah lo agdo? There's a mitzvah to do it. So they can't fit in this brayta either. So the olam rabbonon. No, it is the rabbonon. My mitzvah. The mitzvah here is not the mitzvah of lulav, but rather mishum zekeli v'anveyu. This is my God. Let me adorn him. From here, Chazal learn in the Midrash Halacha, zekeli v'anveyu, hitna'el lefanav b'mitzvot. You should adorn the mitzvot or adorn yourself with mitzvot before Hashem. And this is the idea of hidur mitzvah here, enhancing the mitzvah, doing something in a nicer, more beautiful way, that is both from the perspective of what you do with the mitzvah, as well as how you present the mitzvah. That means that if you have a beautiful pair of tzitzit, a beautiful pair of tefillin, that's part of hidur mitzvah. In addition to that, if there are different ways to do things, then if you take up the best way to do it, that's also an aspect of hidur mitzvah. So here, wrapping it or binding it is a hidur mitzvah. It looks nicer. It's a better presentation. It's a nicer way to put them together. And therefore, it is something that we would require lechatchila, because we want you to do that. But b'diavad, hidur mitzvah is not the me'akev, the mitzvah. And therefore, zekeli v'anveil, which drives the necessity for it, does not create the ikuv or the requirement b'diavad to do this way, because that sources out of the mitzvah of lulav itself. And we saw that the chamim don't darshan kicha kicha. So now, first of all, this last braita is halacha. That's the way that we paskin, that it's a mitzvah l'chatchila, one should bind the lulav. B'diavad, if you didn't bind the lulav, it's no problem. The bigger question is the issue that was raised by Rav Chanan Barova, the fact that you don't have to take all four of the minim together. That, the Gemara aligns with the sheet of the Chachamim, which means that we then paskin like the Chachamim. And now you have to define, what does it mean that you don't have to take them together? The Bali Tosafot over here, quote, from the Bahag, Be'erish Baal Halachot Gidolot, Bilchot Ulav, Yesh Lo Emikvim, Dolot Ema Adim Magbalahu Bahadeh Adodi, Lo Nofik, don't say that when you pick them all together and pick them up together, that you are Yotze, Ella, Imagba Chad Chad Uchudei, Shapir Dami. If you pick them up one at a time, it is just fine. You are Yotze. To climb along, lulav ein tzarich aguda. Because we believe that a lulav does not require a binding. And therefore the Bag comes to the conclusion from the simple reading of the Gemara. Yeshlo and Einlo. Einlo means you don't have it at all. That's Ma'akev. Yeshlo means you have it. You're just taking them one at a time. And you take them one at a time, you are Yotze, the mitzvah of lulav. You don't need to bind them. You don't need to take them in a single taking. That is the view of the Baal Galochot Gedolot. The Rabbeinu Tam over here changes the girsa. He says, "Higia b'sifro loshna perush de ma'akva mishum tama el she'enlo." It's only me'akev, the issue of tama, when you don't have it. Av yeshlo tamahu. If you have all four minim, then it's tam. Af api shelo chibro be'aguda. Even though you don't bind them together. So the Rabbeinu Tam has a much more narrow reading of this position of Rav Chanan Ba'aba. He says that the loshna means that loshna with regards to, even if you don't bind them together, you will be yotze the mitzvah. And that's what he sees as the qualification over here. You would have thought they're makvim each other and they need to be tama bound together. Along comes Rav Chanan Ba'aba and says you don't have to bind them together. You don't need all four of them to be taken together. Together means inside of an aguda. But that doesn't mean you're yotze if you pick them up one at a time. This turns out to be a major, major machloket in the Rishonim. And interestingly enough, the majority of the Rishonim do not side with the Rabbeinu Tam over here, but rather with the Bahag. And that is that you can take them one at a time, and still be Yosei the mitzvah. And the Ran on the Rif actually quotes from the Ramban an even more extreme view that you have over here. The Ran says, "B'b'shem Ramban zal mekilin od v'omrim afa pi shlo ayu b'rshuto v'yachad kol shenatlan kulam yatsa." Even if they're not in your possession, but as long as you took all four of them over the day, yatsa, you are yotzei the mitzvah. That means that if you didn't take all four of them over that day, that is me'akev. But if you take them, even one at a time, even if they're not in your possession, you are yotzei le'mafreya. Once you've taken all four of them, then you yotzei the mitzvah of lulav. Aval kol shebo liyado afilu b'zechar zeh. Even if they come into your possession one after the next, yatsa. Va'afo b'keinin ra'oi le'barech el lulav. Then it's still risky to make a bracha on the lulav. Elim keinu yodei b'beirur sheyavo liyado kulan. Unless you know for certainty that you're going to get all four. Because otherwise you're making a very risky bracha on the lulav, assuming that you're going to get the other minim. And that may not be true. So therefore we'd rather you make the bracha when you have the items in your possession. But that's not makev, and the Ramban goes as far, according to the Ran, to say that as long as you take all four of them over the day, you are yotzei the mitzvah. The Hagot Mamoniot on the Rambam brings Vazeh Katav Rabbeinu Simcha Shimsach Bemin Nemin Choser Umivarech. If you talk between taking each of the minim, meaning assuming that you could take them one at a time, if you talk in between, then you have a hefsek in the bracha, and so then you're going to have to make a bracha separately on each of the minim. Anitilat Lulav covers all of them, that's only assuming that there's no hefsek over there. But if you have a hefsek, you're going to have to say a separate bracha for each one of the items. The Magen Avraham here quotes a story from the Orchot Chaim in the name of the Ram Mimutterberg, Shenata Lulav Ubirech. He took a lulav, made a bracha, v'achar kach ra'a, shlo yabo aravot. So there were no aravot in it. V'chazar, v'nata lohim arava. He went back and took it again with the aravot in them. Ubirech al nitilat arava. V'shechayonu. Even though you don't have to take the rava by itself, nevertheless, it's still a mitzvah minimuvchar to take all four of them at once. So you see two interesting things here. First of all, the ability to make a separate bracha on each one of the minim, as well as the fact that when you have a deficit of one of the minim, the best way to take that min is to take the whole bundle again together and not just take that min itself. So from there, they want to learn, if you take minim separately, that you have to make a bracha on each one of them, because the Orchot Chaim quotes in the name of the Raivud, that kol haRaivud zal shim natan echad echad shmerecho kol achat veachat leatzmo. You have to make a bracha on each one of them separately. She'en agudim biyachad shetei birkat ulav potran. Since they're not bound together, the bracha of lulav can't take care of all of them. But if you take all of them together, then you can make a single bracha on all of the minim. There are those that want to differentiate between those cases, because over there, when he took the original four minim, he didn't know he was missing that one min, which means that he didn't have in mind to make the bracha on that particular min. In a case where he knew ahead of time he was going to take them separately, then maybe over there the one bracha will cover everything, and you don't have to make a separate bracha on each one of them. So again, this has major nafkamina d'alocha, and the psak alocha of the Shulchan Aruch, and of the Ramah. And then he writes, if all four of them are found there, you take them one at a time, you would say. The Shulchan Aruch does not let you make a bracha on it because of the safek of the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam says you can't make a bracha, you can't be yotzei that way. He says, if you do it, b'diavad, you are yotzei. That is the view of the majority of the Rishonim. And then the Ramah says on that, that's only true if all of them are in front of you. So he has the definition that they must literally be in front of you. It doesn't mean that you own it or in your possession. It means literally in front of you. And the Groh says that that's a machloket between the Tur and the Rosh versus the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, as to whether they literally have to be in front of you, or it's enough that you own them in order to do it in this way. And then, b'itol alulav tchila, v'yavarech alulav. So take the lulav first and you make a bracha. So the Ramah allows you even to make a bracha in this way. V'dato ala acherim. And you'll have in mind to take the residual or the remainder of them. V'imsachu bentayim. If he speaks in between, tzarech levarecho kol echad echad bifnei atzmo. Then you have to make a separate bracha on each one of them. So here you have the halacha. we paskin like this Bahag against the Rabbeinu Tam, the fact that you, first of all, can't take them separately one at a time, and number two is you most likely can make a brocha on such a likicha. The second issue that comes up over here is what the Balei Tosafot speak about here and much more extensively in the Gemara and Sukkah, which is which mitzvot of Lulav apply to the first day and which mitzvot apply to all the days. The Gemara tells us, V'lakachlem lachem v'yom harishon, that you have to take on the first day of the Lulav. V'lakachtem lachem means it's mishilachem, it has to be yours. The Gemara says that the din of mishilachem only applies on the first day. It does not apply to the remainder of the days. You need to own it on the first day. You don't need to own it on the remaining days. From that, the Balei Tosafot bring, there are those that want to extrapolate and say the same thing over here. L'kicha tama, the necessity to take all the four minim and that they're ma'akev each other, that's only true on the first day. After the first day, they're not ma'akev each other. You could take each of the minim separately, even if you don't have the other minim. Because just like l'kach l'mechem b'yom harishon, only applies on the first day. So too, the kichat tama, which is darshan from the same word, should only apply on the first day. Like, v'lakachtem lachem, shiliyeh l'kicha l'kol achat v'achat. Each individual has to take their own lulav. So you would think that if l'kachtem lachem b'yom rishon, that it has to be yours, is only true on the first day, then all halachot that derive from this pasuk should only be true on the first day. And therefore they come to those conclusions. That number one, one person can do it on behalf of others. And number two is that they... L'kichat tama, that they're ma'akev each other, is only true on the first day, not on other days. The Balei Tosafot over here say the letta, you can't say that. Because l'kichat l'kol achad v'achad is never suspended. We see in the Gemara that you have to take it individually every day to yotzei the mitzvah. If that's the case, then l'kichat tama, the necessity for them to be together and ma'akev each other, will also be true all seven of the days. The Balei Tosafot over here do not explain why that is, but we find in the other Rishonim, that the reason is because those things that are essential to the minim themselves or to the mitzvah itself apply all 7 days, Zeichel Mikdash. Those items that are enhancements or particular to one of the minim, those apply to the first day but not afterwards. And so things that are integral, like the four minim being ma'akev each other, that they're the mitzvah, that's something that's going to carry through all 7 days. So the fact that you have to take your own lulav, that's going to carry through all 4 days. The fact that it has to be yours, that's just a qualification. And other things like hidur mitzvah, those are qualifications on top of the mitzvah, and they are additive to the mitzvah, but they're not necessary after the first day. And that's why after the first day, we don't have requirements of lachem, and we don't have requirements of certain aspects of hidur, which would be posel, the lulav on the first day, is not posul after the first day because of those psulim. That happens also to be a machloket in the Rishonim as to whether the requirement of all four minim applies to all 7 days or it only applies to the first day. Most of the Rishonim believe it applies to all 7 days, but there are those that are quoted by the Rishonim from Rabbi Yaakov Orleans that he says that they're not ma'akev after the first day. And then from this you have two other mitzvot that derive about lulav, one of which is lulav tzarich eged. The fact that we paskin that the lulav does not need an eged, nevertheless, we do tell you to put an eged on it because of the bright over here that says, l'chatchila, it's a hidur mitzvah to put the eged on the lulav. And then the eged can be from, first of all, any min, can be from any type of material. It's preferable to do it from one of the minim, of the arbi minim, so you don't run into quote-unquote bal tosif. Although the Gemara in Sanhedrin is clear that if you believe that a lulav does not require an eged, doesn't require a binding, then halu chudekai, they're not considered to be a single unit. And therefore, if you put other bindings or other materials in the binding, that is not a problem of bal tosif. It's not a fifth min. But we still recommend highly that you put in something that is one of the minim. And that's why most bindings use the leaves of the lulav themselves in order to do the binding, so there's no problem of chatzitza, and there's no problem of a fifth min. In addition, if you put on something where you can't touch the actual minim, you're still yotzei the mitzvah as long as it's done derech kavod. So if you have some sort of handle to hold the lulav, if that's a normal way to do it and it's derech kavod to do such, you can hold the lulav that way and you'll be yotzei the mitzvah lulav, even though you're not touching the actual lulav. It's not considered to be a chatzitza between your hand and the lulav. And so therefore you have the ability to take a lulav that has some interference between you and the lulav, as long as the reason for that interference or that chatzitza is to enhance the lulav, make it easier to hold, nicer to hold, zderech kavod. So that does raise issues sometimes with regards to your lulav in the holder for the lulav. Many people have the plastic holders that hold the lulav. If you hold the lulav through the plastic holder, and that's a normal way to hold it, and it's a normal way to grasp the lulav, then you might be yotzei the mitzvah lulav, even though you never picked up the lulav, just by taking it in its carrying case, that might be already enough to say that you're yotzei the mitzvah lulav. So that's why the etrog, not being derech delato, helps you out, because then you're missing one of the four minim, and as long as you believe that you need all four minim, in order to be yotzei the mitzvah, then you're not yotzei the mitzvah until you take all four of them, derech delatam. And the last thing to discuss over here is the issue of hider mitzvah, and how does hider mitzvah play or interplay with the core mitzvah itself, both the sourcing of the hider mitzvah, as well as what does that do in terms of enhancement of the mitzvah, as well as regards to bracha. So a number of things that need to be clarified with regards to hider mitzvah, whether hider mitzvah is a mitzvah midrabbanan, or it's even a mitzvah midoraita. And even if you think that it is a mitzvah doraita, what type of mitzvah it is midoraita? Is it a mitzvah by itself? I mean, there's a separate entity called hider mitzvah, it's its own mitzvah. Or does it become an appendage, an extension of the mitzvah that you're doing? It's something that applies to each mitzvah, and that's what Mishnah Yaivetz clarifies in Hilchot Lulav. Hinei yesh listapek bigardin hider mitzvah, shlemedim mirichtiv anveyu, im hider mitzvah hu chelek migufa mitzvah. Is it part and parcel of the mitzvah? Oh, shehider mitzvah shlemedim mikrav anveyu, hi mitzvah bifnei atzma. Avayin ze chelek migufa mitzvah. But it's not a part and parcel of the mitzvah itself. And he says in the end, you can differentiate between different types of hider mitzvah. Says Amnam Nira, daha de hider mitzvah hi chelek migufa mitzvah, haino hider mitzvah shu b'mase v'kiyuma mitzvah. If there's a hider in the action and the mikayim the mitzvah, then that hider mitzvah is something that is part and parcel of the mitzvah. Ba'ofen zeh hidur hu chelek migufa mitzvah shel amilah, v'doche shabbat k'milah atzma. Never you're allowed to be doche shabbat for the hider mitzvah associated with the taking off the tzitzin shein me'akvin, because it's part and parcel of the mitzvah. It's not in the action and the mikayim mitzvah, rak b'davar shenasebo mitzvah, but only on the object about which the mitzvah is done, like having a beautiful sukkah, a beautiful shofar. In that case, the hidur is not chelek migufa mitzvah, but rather something that is separate or an enhancement of the mitzvah. Imkein ein hidur chelek migufa mitzvah, lehidur hi mitzvah bifnei atzma, sheish lehader davar shenasebo mitzvah. That you should be mahadir, the object about which or with which you're doing the mitzvah. You should have a beautiful shofar to blow the shofar. That's not a part and parcel of the mitzvah. You should have a beautiful sukkah to sit in. That's not a part and parcel of the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to do mitzvot in a beautiful way, or the object or subject of the mitzvah should be something beautiful. So in that way, the Mishnah Yaivetz is mechalik in hider mitzvah between different types of hider mitzvah, which again, when we speak about hider mitzvah, many times we conflate those issues, but we say hit na'elefana b'mitzvot, some of those relate to the mitzvah itself, some of them relate to enhancing the object that is used to perform the mitzvah. And here he draws a distinction between those different types of hider mitzvah. And actually, in the Shut Maram Mimintz, it's actually an interesting tshuva where a person bought a beautiful etrog, and then his friend took it and ruined it, or destroyed it, and now he has to replace it. What type of etrog does he have to replace from him? Does he just have to give him an etrog that he can be yotzei the mitzvah with? Or does he have to give him an etrog that has the same hidurim, which is obviously much more costly, in order to replace the etrog that he destroyed? Over there, he paskins that he just has to replace the core etrog, and he doesn't have to replace the hider mitzvah, although he does have to pay for the difference in value of the etrog to wear post-sukkot, if it has some additional value, that's inherent monetary value that he destroyed, that he will have to replace. But the hider mitzvah itself, he doesn't have to replace. He just has to give him an etrog that he can be yotzei with. Rav Moshe Feinstein notes that there might be actually a chiluk between zeh keli v'anveyu, which is a generic mitzvah, hider mitzvah, versus the pre-eitz hadar that's found by etrog, which might be a core issue of hadar in the mitzvah itself. In one case, the hider mitzvah will be considered a part and parcel of the mitzvah and integral to the mitzvah, whereas by zeh keli v'anveyu, it might be something that is external to the mitzvah. And the last thing that many of the Rishonim and Achronim discuss is the issue of bracha with regards to hider mitzvah. It's a very hot topic, both here by the case of lulav whether when you do something that's only an enhancement of the mitzvah, can you then make a bracha on it? Or does that allow you to still make a bracha on the item? And it really takes major focus with regards to the lighting of Hanukkah candles. Because how do you view the additional Hanukkah candles that you are lighting? The mitzvah or the core mitzvah is just to light a single candle per household. When you're doing the additional candles, all of that's hiddur mitzvah. Can you make a bracha on that hiddur mitzvah? And for instance, if you forgot to make the bracha and then you're still lighting, can you make the bracha while you're still lighting those things that are associated with the hiddur mitzvah? Or if you got candles later on, were you able to then do the mitzvah mehuderet? Do you make a bracha at that point in time because now you have the ability to light those candles? Is that covered by the original bracha that you made? Or now do you make a new bracha on the hiddur mitzvah? Like, for instance, there is Shut Rabbi Kiva Eger has a question of Shalatova Mishidlik Ner Chanukah Belel Chet V'Shachach Levarech Alad Lakatai, forgot to make the bracha of Ladik Ner Shul Chanukah. Ra Kodem Shidlik Kulan, after he'd done a bunch of them but he didn't finish off, he remembers Nisgar the Dain Lo Birech Im Yeshul Levarech Olo, can he make a bracha on that instance? And he, for a number of reasons that he combines, says in that case the person can make a bracha. He doesn't say it solely because of the issue of Hiddur Mitzvah, but the Hiddur Mitzvah together with other items give you the ability then to make the bracha on the Hiddur Mitzvah. And that likely goes back to the Chakira that we spoke about before, which is how integral is the Hiddur Mitzvah to the Mitzvah itself. If you view it being integral to the Mitzvah, part and parcel of the Mitzvah, then the Hiddur Mitzvah will allow you to make a bracha, and maybe even a separate bracha on the Hiddur itself. If you view the hiddur as being its own mitzvah and not an extension of the core mitzvah, then there's no reason that you wouldn't be able to make a bracha on the hiddur mitzvah or make a bracha once you pass the core mitzvah. And so that chakira will play heavily into what you believe with regards to the bracha on hiddur mitzvah. All of these are questions that arise with regards to this issue of hiddur mitzvah over here. There's much more to say about this and extensive makorot on these matters, and I will send them out for everybody to take a look at. Right, Sheva Azot Shepara, Makvot Zot Zo. The reason that the seven Azot of the Parah Ma'akev is Chukah, which is from Pashat Chukat. That's where the Parah Duma is found. Zot Chukat Torah. So that Chukah is referencing to Parah Duma. That's Ma'akev, anything to do with the processing of the Parah Duma. Sheva Azot Shal Ben Abadim, Hashem Izbeach Azav Al Parochet, Makvot Zot Zo. The fact that the Azot inside of the Eichal are Makvot each other, by Yom Kippurim Tev Chukah. As we noted already before, by Yom Kippur, everything is Ma'akev in the Avodah Yom Kippurim, because the word Chukah appears over there. V'zot lahem Chukat Olam. Par Kohen Mashiach Parlam Dover Shal Tzibor V'sirei Avdech Kuchavim. Where do we know there that it's Ma'akev? Kedetanya, like we saw back in Zvachim, V'salapar Kasher Asalapar. You'll do to this par like you did to the other par. It says that you should do to the par Alam Dover Shil Tzibor exactly what you did to the par Kohen Mashiach. Yet, in all the psukim right before there, it tells you exactly what to do with the par Alam Dover Shil Tzibor. So why does the Torah repeat, in a sense, this idea that the par Alam Dover Shil Tzibor is identical to the par Kohen Mashiach? It already told you that by just comparing the two parshiot. So what does it mean, Vasal par Kasher Asal par? Ma Tamad Lomar? Why is that pasuk there? L'chbol b'hazaot. To tell you as if it's written twice, all the azaot over there, shemichiser achat min matanot, lo asa klum. To teach you that if you're missing any one of those matanot dam, it is me'akev. Rashi over here at the top of the amud brings the full version of the limud, a little more complex than just saying that it says vasalapar kasher salapar. Rashi goes to the more in-depth limud that we have in the Gemara in Zvachim, including how we include the par el medover shel tzibur, the par koyim mashiach, the sirei avodat kochavim, par yom kippurim, which also is a veiled reference to in the psukim over here, and why we need those, or what is ma'akev, or what is it teaching you that's missing but the other item. For us, the most important part is that you have a duplication of the azot. That duplication of the azot creates the ikuv that is associated with the azot adam of the parim nisrafim and the sirim nisrafim. Right, Tan Rabbanan. Sheva Zot Shepara, Shasan Ben Shalom Lishman, Ben Shalom Mikuvanot, if they have these deficits in the processing of the Parah Duma, that you either did the sprinkling of the dam towards the Beit HaMikdash Shal Eichal, Shalom Lishmo, you did it without the proper intent, you did it with negative intent, Ben Shalom Mikuvanot, or you didn't do them facing the Nochach Pnei Ol Moed, you didn't do it facing the Ol Moed. Both of those are me'akev and psulot. The paraduma is psula. Shibifnim, those hazot that are done inside of the Mikdash should be mitzora, and those that are done by the mitzora, shaloli shman psulot, if they're done with the wrong intent, they are psulot. Shalom mikuvanot ksherot, if they're not done in the proper direction or facing the proper way, that is not makev, they are still ksherot. So now Rashi explains over here that when we're speaking about the paraduma, even though the paraduma is not a korban, nevertheless, lo lishma is me'akev there, because it's called chatat hi. The term chatat is used to describe the paraduma, even though it's not brought on the mizbeach bifnim. For that reason, we have certain properties like a chatat. One of those properties is, if you process it shalo lishma, it's psula, just like the chatat is psula, shalo lishma. Now, with regards to mekuvanot, here the pasuk says that you have to do it nochach pnei omoed. You have to do it opposite the pnei omoed, the face of the omoed, and thereby the paradumat uses the word chok or chukah. So we see from that that it's me'akev in that instance. Those are that are bifnim, like Yom Kippur, and the parim nisafim, sirim nisafim, parim davshon tzibur, parkoin mashiach, sirim avodat kochavim, and the mitzora. By the mitzora you have to sprinkle the oil 7 times from the loga shaman that he brings towards the heichal. The kohen does that according to Rashi at Shar Nikanor, at the entranceway to the Azara, because he has to then put the oil and the dam of the Asham onto the Mitzor himself, who's standing in Shar Nikanor. So he does it right there. The Balei Tosafot believe that he does it further in. He walks closer to the Petach HaEichal and does the Sheva Zot HaShemen that are over there. So all those that are done Shalol Lishmo are considered to be problematic. All the other Parim and Nisrafim and Sirin Nisrafim are known as Chataot. Since they're chataot, shalol lishma is going to be problematic for them. With regards to the shemen of the mitzvah, we're going to see the reasoning behind that in a couple of minutes. Shalom mikuvanot, or actually says, if you don't sprinkle them properly, ben mizrach the ma'arav, you don't do it along the east-west line, but rather you do it north-south, then you are yotze by these items, lo ktibuhu el nochach. Doesn't say opposite. Doesn't say directly opposite. So Rashi just says, Shalom Mekuvano, it means you didn't do it east-west, but rather you did it north-south. There are others, especially by the case of the Parim Sirim of Yom Kippurim, and the other Parim, it's in a case where you didn't do it opposite the Ben Abadim. You didn't do it directed towards the Aron, but rather to one of the two sides. Even if you're facing east-west, you didn't direct the Ben Abadim, and that's Shalom Mekuvano. And they say, Shalom Mekuvano. Not like Rashi being such a deviation of moving north to south, but just even a deviation of moving away from the center that's facing the Aron. You can see that in the Ot Chaval of the Shita Mekubetzet, which is Nusach Acher, Keneged Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim Ksherot, meaning that Mekuvanot means directly opposite the Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. So by the Parah Aduma, Nochach means exactly opposite the doorway, and exactly opposite the doorway, if you're doing the Ezot over there, then you're fine. If you're not exactly opposite, it's Psula. Seemingly, by the other items that are brought here, including the mitzora and the parim nisafim, sirim nisafim, that requirement doesn't exist because it never says nochach. It has to be opposite that area. And therefore, you have more latitude in where you do those sprinklings before it becomes psula. And that's why, when it's shalom mikuvanot, when it's done not exactly in the direction that we thought, nevertheless, you are yotze, it is kasher in this case. Vatanya, don't we have a brayta that says, Gabi para, shalolishman psulot, shalom mikuvanot ksherot. So the shalolishma, you agree, that's a chatat, so that's no good. But shalom mikuvanot, that is kasher. So you have a stira in the brayta. One says that shalom mikuvanot is pasol. One says shalom mikuvanot is ksherot. Amar Rav Chista lo kasha, Rabbi Yehuda rabbonon. That's a difference in opinion between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. That's going to take us the remainder of today's Amud to get to this point. We're going to go far afield to try to get this information and then come back here to explain how this is a difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan's position. Tanya, mechusarei kapara, shenichnasu la'azara b'shogeg. Someone who is mechusarei kapara, they've already gone through the process of tara, like a zav, a zavah, a mitzorah. They've done everything that was incumbent upon them, but they have to bring a korban on the 8th day. That korban on the 8th day releases them from their tumah, and at that point they can enter into the mikdash. Before that point in time, they're not allowed into the mikdash, they're not allowed into the azara. So now, a mechusarei kapara, shenichnasu la'azara b'shogeg, he does it unintentionally, chayav chatat. B'meizid, if he does it intentionally, anush karet, he's chayav karet. That's true by mechusrei kapara, which are the lowest form of tumah, because they're basically all tahor, with the exception of bringing a korban. Nevertheless, use a chiyuv karet associated with entering. Certainly, by all these other tumot, there's going to be a problem. They are more severe instances of tumah, like a tvul yom who went to the mikveh, is waiting for the sun to set. So those individuals, if they walk into the Azara, they certainly are going to be in that same position as the Mechusrei Kapara. If you do it unintentionally, Chayav Chatat, intentionally you are Chayav Karet. V'Torim, Shenichnasu Lifnim Echitzatan. Torim, those that are Torah, they enter beyond the boundaries of where they're supposed to go. Rashi claims that Torim here refers to Bnei Yisrael, refers to Yisrael that's going beyond the Ezrat Yisrael, the Yud Alef Amot at the beginning of the Azara, the strip in the Azara. They walk beyond that for no purpose, for not any reason. They will be chayav, as we're going to see in a second. That's the way the Rashi learns it. On the other hand, the Shita Mikubetzet in Od Vav writes, "Velo Nehira," that explanation of Rashi, "Talo Aviyale Malad Rabbonon." That's only Din Rabbonon. And he brings from Reb Shimshon Mikutzi, the Perushika Mefarish, Torim Shnichnasu Lefnimi Michitzatam, Hainu Eichal. And the Eichal is an issue for the Kohanim. They have the restriction when they're not doing work to enter into that area. And therefore what we're speaking about here are Kohanim going on the areas where they're normally allowed to work or are permitted to work because they don't have anything to do. You can't come empty-handed into the Eichal. You need to be doing work. And if you violate that, that's what we're speaking about in this Braita. So Midoraita, it's only the Kohanim that have these restrictions we're about to speak about. But Midorabanan, it affects the Israelim as well. And Tosfos notes that Hishtachavaya, just bowing down, might be enough of a reason to enter into those areas, and that would not be considered to be an unauthorized access to those areas. He proves it from the people that accompany the Kohen Gadol to bow down, that they also bow down over there, and that's enough of an avoda, quote-unquote, to justify their being in those areas. The Torim Shnechnazul Ifnimi Michitzatam, Leichal Kulo Barbaim. They enter into the Eichal, then they get Makot Arbaim. If they go into the area where the Aron is found, into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, El Pnei HaKaporet, or they're standing immediately opposite the Aron, then Bimita, then you're Chayav Mita for such a thing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ko Eichal Kulo, Umi Beit LaParochet Barbaim. The entire Eichal, as well as entering into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, only gets you 40 lashes, it gets you Makot. But Pnei HaKaporet Bimita. The din of mitah only applies to standing immediately opposite the Aron in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. But Maika Miflagei, what is the machlok between the Rabbonon and Rabbi Yehuda in this matter? Bahaikra, they're arguing about this pasuk, the pasuk that we will read on Yom HaKippurim, from Vachrimot, which is Vayom HaShem Moshe, Debel Aron Achicha, Va'al Yavo B'chol Eit El HaKodesh, Mi Beit LaParochet El Pnei HaKaporet. He may not come into, here are the three different areas. One is the Kodesh. The other one is Mibet LaParochet, means into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. El Pnei HaKaporet means opposite the Aron. Asher al Aron, Velo Yamut, and then he won't die. So implying that if you do this, you will be subject to Mita Bidei Shemayim. The truth is that the easiest way to explain the Pasuk is just to say that anything that is below Yavo is below Yamut. You're not allowed to go in. If you go in, you're Chayav Mita. But if that's the case, then you wouldn't need to enumerate all the items there. Because if you simply say Kodesh, Kodesh, as we're going to see, covers the Heichal, the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the whole area there. If that's the case, you only need to mention Kodesh. The fact that you mention Opnei HaParochet and the Kaporet shows you that there must be some division within the Pasuk. Now, it's easy to parse. The Kodesh goes towards Lo Yavo. The Kaporet goes towards Lo Yamut, because they are the closest to those dinim. The question is the Pnei HaParochet that's in the middle, which side does that go to? Does that go towards the side of Al Yavo? Does that go to the side of Lo Yamut? Rabbanan Sabre, the Rabbanan read the Pasuk in the following way. El HaKodesh B'Lo Yavo. When it says, Tel Aron B'Al Yavo B'Chol Eit El HaKodesh, the Al Yavo is modifying the Kodesh. So Kodesh is the Eichal, you go into the Eichal, Al Yavo, you're subject to Malkot. Mi Beit LaParochet Vel Pnei HaKaporet. Those items that are mentioned later in the Pasuk, which includes the standing opposite the Aron, or entering into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, Belo Yamut. That's modified by the end of the Pasuk, which says Belo Yamut. If you do it right, you will not die. If you do it improperly, Yamut. Then you're going to die. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, El HaKodesh Mi Beit LaParochet Belo Yavo. the al yavol b'chol eit is modifying kodesh and mi beit l'parochet, v'pnei ha-kaporet v'lo yamut, and only standing opposite the aron is subject to mita bidei shemayim. So my time in the Rabbanon, why did the Rabbanon read it this way? You have three items that are mentioned in the Pasuk. You have al yavol in the beginning, yamut at the end, right? Where do you stick the comma? Where do you divide? So Chamim say, Isa gadatko gadama Rabbi Yehuda, if you think like Rabbi Yehuda, lichtov rachmanai la kodesh, v'pnei ha-kaporet. You only need to write two things in the Pasuk and you'll get to the conclusion of Rabbi Yehuda. If you just write Kodesh, which is the Eichal, and that is below Yavod, that's Malkot, and El Pnei Kaporet, you will say that there you get Chiyu Mita Bidei Shemayim, below Bayim Ibeid LaParochet. Then you don't have to write walking into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. It's obvious if the Torah tells you that only when you're standing opposite the Aron are you Chayav Mita, that means for everything else, you're not Chayav Mita. V'ana Amina, I would have understood. Eichal Mechayev, Mi beit l'parochet mi bayi, that I can learn from the Eichal. Rashi says it this way. The only way to get to the Kodesh HaKodeshim is to go through the Eichal. So by definition, you're going to pass through the Eichal to get to the beit l'parochet. And that means that the Malkot that are associated with the Eichal are automatically going to be associated with beit l'parochet. The Tozor Chitzonio don't love that explanation because of the fact that you could enter there properly and then improperly into the area of the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Because there are times where you have permission to enter the Eichal, and then you wander into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Therefore, they see it as being just a plain Kal V'Chomer, rather than Rashi, which is it's a form of access. The only way to get from one to the other is to pass through the first to get to the second, because that's not always true, that you're going to have a violation of the first to get to the second. So therefore, you could have just written these two items, Mi Beit LaParochet Dichtav Rachman Olamaleh. The Beit LaParochet is not necessary. When the Torah writes it, why do you have that? Shmamina bimita. That tells you that that also has a din of mita bidei shemayim. Rabbi Yehuda responds, Ikad avrachamana ela kodesh veloka da mi beit laparochet. Had it just written a kodesh and didn't write mi beit laparochet, avamina, my kodesh, mi beit laparochet. I would have thought the definition of the word kodesh is not heichal, but rather the word kodesh means mi beit laparochet, entering into the kodesh hakodeshim. Aval heichal, lav nami lo. Then, for the Eichal, not only will you not get a Chiyuv Mita Bidei Shemayim, you won't even get Malkot for it, because it's not included in the Pasuk, had you not written the word, Mi Beit LaParochet. Rabbanon, La Lom Lomatzid Amart. You can't say that. The Eichal Kula Ikre Kodesh. Because the Eichal is known as the Kodesh. The Pasuk says, Shenemar Viv Dila Parochet Lahem Ben HaKodesh, U Ben HaKodesh HaKodeshim. The Parochet, the curtain, they will veil or divide between the Kodesh HaKodeshim and the Kodesh. So you see, the entirety of the Eichal is called Kodesh. Even the areas that are outside of the Kodesh HaKodeshim are called Kodesh, and therefore they're going to be subsumed in this Pasuk, and you can't say the word Kodesh would have meant Kodesh HaKodeshim. Rabbi Yehuda, my time, huh? So now, Rabbi Yehuda responded to Chamim's proof, but what is his proof? Isa gadatko gedamri rabbonon. If the rabbonon are right, lichtov rachman ela kodesh, umi beit laparochet. You should have just written two things. Ela kodesh, which teaches you when you go into the Eichal, you get malkot. That's below Yavo. And Mi Beit LaParochet, when you enter the Kodesh HaKodeshim, there you're going to get a Chiyuv Mita. Velo Bayo Pnei HaKaporet. And then you don't have to tell me about standing opposite the Aron. V'ana Mina, Mi Beit LaParochet, Mi Mita. If just entering the Kodesh HaKodeshim is subject to Mita Bidei Shemayim, O Pnei HaKaporet, Mi Boye, you have to tell me about the case of the facing the Aron, being opposite the Aron. Of course, you're already in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, you're going to be Chayav. El Pnei HaKaporet, Dichtav Rachman Olam Aleis. And then why does the Torah mention El Pnei HaKaporet? Shmamina, Pnei HaKaporet b'mita. That only thing that has a chiyuv mita bidei shemayim is Pnei HaKaporet opposite the Aron. Mi Beit LaParochet b'azara. Mi Beit LaParochet is subject to the normal lav that is associated with entering into the Kodesh. Rabbanan hachanami delo tzarich. You're right. It's unnecessary to write it. V'hai dechtiv rachmana Pnei HaKaporet l'me'utei derech mishupash. But the reason the Torah wrote it is not for the halacha itself of entering into the Kodesh Kodeshim, but rather for the language of Pnei HaKaporet, that you have to come in through the face of the Kaporet, which means that you can't come in Derech Mishubash. Rashi says Derech Mishubash means Derech Mishubash, when you do it in an improper way. Kedidana Debei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, El Pnei HaKaporet Kedma. It says that the Pnei HaKaporet is on the eastern side. The face is on the eastern side. Zebnei Avakol Makol. This establishes a paradigm that anywhere in Tanakh where it says Shenemar Pnei Enuel Pnei Kadim. And when you say about the face of an object, the face of the object is always towards the eastern side. Rabbi Yehuda Lema Kra Pnei. my El, then if the Torah just wrote Pnei, we would have learned like you're saying the Rabbanan. When it says El Pnei, that extra El is not necessary there, and that's what's teaching us that when they say El Pnei HaKaporet, for Rabbi Yehuda, that means Dafka Pnei HaKaporet. The other thing to discuss over here is Derech Mishupash. This is also something that came up in Masechet Zvachim, and we discussed it over there, what that means. Rashi over here gives a number of options of what Mishupash means. It's Derech Mishubash. It is a non-standard or a problematic way of entering. And so Rashi here brings examples of that, which is Kagon Shechatar Choma Shalifnai V'lifnim. He cut through the wall to enter into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Vasab Petach B'darom B'tzafon. It makes a doorway on the northern side or the southern side to enter into that area. And he doesn't go through the petach, the doorway on the eastern side, then he's not going to be chayav. Inami, nichnas b'petach, or even in the case when he enters through the doorway, v'tzidei v'alachsom, but he didn't walk straight in, he walked on an angle across, v'alach l'tzadim, and he went to the side, to the sides, lo mechayev, el p'nei b'ina. You're not going to be chayav in that case, we need to be shiupanav, so that his face is facing p'nei mizrachi shel kaporet, on the eastern side of the kaporet. In all these cases, that fails. The Baalei Tosafot, like they do in Zvachim, disagree with Rashi over here. The Baalei Tosafot don't like Rashi's explanation that he walked in on an angle. It says that it either means you come in from the door in the back of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, came in from the roof, or from other doorways around the Kodesh HaKodeshim, not the eastern doorway. Even though he accepts the general definition that Rashi lays out over here, he disagrees with that one point that Derech Mishupash can't mean that you're walking on an angle into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Right now, we went through this long braita in order to get back to what we were looking for here, which is by the Parah Adumah, we said that the Mekuvanot, the direction you're facing, is Ma'akev in one braita, and the other braita was only the Chatkila. Shmamina, El Davka. That when they say El Pnei HaKaporet, for Rabbi Yehuda, that means Davka Pnei HaKaporet. Rabbanan El Lav Davka. And for the Rabbanan, El Pnei HaParochet, that doesn't mean literally the Pnei HaParochet, just means from the eastern side. Rabbi Yehuda Damar El Pnei HaKaporet Davka, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that El Pnei HaKaporet we take literally, Bizal Nochach Nami Davka. So too, when it says by the Parah Adumah, you're going to sprinkle it opposite the Heichal, opposite the Kodesh, that too will be Davka Nochach. Rabbanan Midatam Lav Davka, just like by the case of El Pnei HaKaporet is Lav Davka, Hachanami Lav Davka, so over here when it says Nochach, doesn't mean literally Nochach. Even if you're skewed to a side, it's okay. Matkiv La Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda Mita El Davka. The fact that we say that El Pnei HaKaporet is Davka, and El Nochach Pnei Omoed, we also said is Davka, El Adamikta Sheni, Dolavi Aron, Bekaporet, Hachanami Dolavi Razot, according to you, that we take it very literally, and has to be done exactly opposite the Aron, then it sounds like you need the Aron to be there in order to be Yotzei. And Mikdash Sheni, when the Aron is not present in the Mikdash, how are you allowed to do Hazot over there? You're missing a key component over here. So Amar Rav Barula, Makra, V'chiperet Mikdash HaKodesh, Makom Mikudash LaKodesh. It says, V'chiperet Mikdash HaKodesh, it tells you that a place or location that is kadosh. Do it in the place where the Aron was. It doesn't have to be exactly the Aron or opposite the Aron that's there. Just needs to be b'makom kadosh. You have to be in the location where that kedusha is, the location where the Aron once sat. Rav Amar, Hava Had Rabbonon. Both brightot are authored by the Rabbonon. V'adukai b'mizrach umarav v'adi. That's in the case when he's standing east-west and doing the sprinklings. V'adukai b'tzafon d'arom v'adi. In the other case where he's sprinkling north-south. So in the north-south way, that's not called nochach, and therefore it's disqualified and it ruins it. On the other hand, if you do it east-west, then even though you're not directly opposite the doorways into the Heichal and into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, nevertheless, since you're in the general direction of it, that will be sufficient, and you will be yotzei b'diavad, even though you were not directly nochach. Amar mar, shibi b'fnim, shibi b'tzora. It says here that those that are internal sprinklings, and the mitzvah, shalom lishman psulot, if you do it with the wrong intent, it's pasul, shalom mikuvanot, if you don't direct them directly to the echal, ksherot, that's fine. Vatanya, don't we have a brighter that is soter this, that contradicts this? Ben shalom lishman, ben shalom mikuvanot, ksherot. Doesn't matter whether it's lishma or not lishma, it is kasher. Am Rabbi Yosef, lokasha, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbonan. It's a different attribution. Rabbi Eliezer, the Mekish Hashem Lechatat. Rabbi Eliezer says that the Hashem, this is the first Mishnah in Zvachim, is similar to a Chatat because of the Pasuk that tells us, Ka Chatat, Ka Hashem, Torah Chat Lahem. There's a hekesh between Chatat and Hashem in that Pasuk. From there, Rabbi Eliezer learns that just like Lo Lishma ruins a Chatat, so too Lo Lishma ruins an Hashem. So now, just like Rabbi Eliezer is Mekish Hashem Lechatat, Mekish Log LaHashem. He also has a hekesh between the Log Hashemit of the Mitzurah and the Hashem Mitzurah. Because in the Pasuk where the Hashem is mentioned, at the end of the Pasuk, it has Log Hashemen. And just like the Hashem can only be done Lishma, so to the Log Shaman that's attached to it can only be done Lishma. Rabbana Lo Makshe, and the Rabbana don't have the hekesh between Chatat and Hashem, so they have a Hashem that is done Shlo Lishma, is still Kasher V'lo Al Tal Balim. Wait a minute, you're doing a double hekesh, which is not allowed in Kodoshim. You're saying from Chatat to Hashem, and now from Sham to Log Hashemen. That's a double hekesh, and we don't allow that within the world of Kodoshim. So Elam HaRova, Hava HaRabonon. Rova says, no, both brides are authored by the Rabbonon. Kanach Shir, Kanar Tzot. It's a difference between whether the Korban is Kasher, or it's whether the Korban is Ole LeBalim. So that's the question over here. When you have a Makshava Lo Lishma, the Korban is Kasher, the Log Shaman is going to be Kasher. It's not going to be Motzi the Balim. One bright that's speaking about the issue of, is the Korban Kasher, and therefore it says Kasher. And the other bright that says it's Pasul, speaking about from the perspective of the Mitzorah that needs Tara over here, it's Pasul because the Korban was brought Shalom Lishma. It's not going to discharge the obligation of the Balim. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Kofchet Amud Aleph.